Hi, welcome to Howling Talent, the podcast that sheds light on human and animal talents in all fields. I'm Anna Roy.
And I'm Yvonne Dagger. Let's get howling. Today we welcome Jenny Honig, mom of Enzo, the painting sloth.
Welcome to Howling Talent, Jenny.
Hi, nice to be here.
Well, adopting a sloth is quite uncommon. So how did you come to adopt Enzo? Was it something you'd always wanted, or did it happen unexpectedly?
It was actually probably about a 5-year process. I always liked sloths. And I started joking with my husband, you know, hey, let's get a sloth. And of course, he was like, people don't have sloths. It was an ongoing thing where I'd find posts online of sloths doing cute things. And I started following rescues in Central America. And I would share, you know, some of their stuff. And then at some point, we did go to a zoo that had a sloth. And typically, you know, during the day, they're asleep. So you just see a curled up ball of fur. And you don't really get to see what a sloth looks like or what it's doing. But this day, this sloth was up and awake and moving back and forth on this branch. And my husband was just as fascinated as I was.
Right.
And I was like, see, these are really cool animals. And so he actually kind of started humoring the idea a little bit. Like, what is the need for like sloth rescue? Is this a thing? Or, figure out more. So we started doing some like real research into it. And, we learned like their temperature requirements, you know, they need the heat and the humidity. So could we recreate that environment? You know, how would we make that work? And then the cost of a sloth is quite a bit.
I'm sure.
And then, kind of finding, you know, if this is something we'd really want to pursue. And so we weren't personally interested in doing anything like importing an animal. That wasn't really what we wanted. We were looking for a sloth that was being displaced already, who was and that's what Enzo ended up. He was a sloth that was being displaced. So his previous home, he was in a home setting, and his previous person became very active in horse rescue. And so she felt like he needed a little bit more attention than he was getting, because he, oddly enough, is quite social. He does like it when we're in there with him, and he does interact quite a bit. I don't think that's typical sloth behavior, to be honest, but he really does like his people. And so we started communicating with her, and we went to meet him. And we're smitten. And
nice.
And that's how it began. And so we got the permits, and we scheduled to get him home.
Wow.
I should just mention here that you're in Milwaukee, and sloths are considered exotic pets. So just in case, you know, anybody's listening and thinks this is a brilliant idea and easy, it's not. So I just need to clarify, just so that there are no misunderstandings. Yeah.
Well, we're not in Milwaukee, but we are in Wisconsin. So
Sorry.
the laws here are quite relaxed compared to most other states.
Right.
But I did have to get, you know, a permit to import him into the state, and I very carefully searched the laws for where we were living to be sure that we weren't, you know, breaking any law, and to be sure that, you know, nobody could come knock on the door and say, hey, we're taking him out of here. You aren't allowed to have him. We were very, very thorough.
Good. That's good to know.
So before we brought him home, we did take a little over a month to be sure we could hold a room at 80 degrees and at a humidity level that they needed. So we did want to make sure before we brought him home that we were capable of creating his environment. And so the home we lived in when we first got him, he had his own bedroom, and that was kept heated and humidified. In 2020, we did move to a different area with some acreage so we could have some more animals. And they have a big outbuilding, and that building is heated in the wintertime, of course, and humidified. And they do have access when it's the summer months where they can go outside into an outdoor enclosure, which is so nice. And lots of windows so they can bask in the sunshine. So yeah, we were very careful to be sure that we could run heaters when the weather's cold, keep that temperature high, humidifiers to keep it tropical, and we've done a good job, I think. They seem very happy. And
What have you done? I mean, did you do, I've seen pictures. We've seen pictures on online, on social media of Enzo. He's pretty popular. Did you have to like put tropical plants in his bedroom and things like that?
So when we first in our first home, when we first had gotten him, what we did was we tried to replicate almost exactly the room he was coming from.
Oh, that's
So
wonderful.
we set up he had like two very large cat towers that he liked to sleep inside of. And we tried to arrange ropes for him to climb on the ceiling in a similar way. We even painted the room the same color that his
Oh,
previous room
that's
was.
wonderful.
We really tried very hard to just replicate his comfort. And when we came to this house, by now he knows us well enough. We didn't have to go to those extremes to be identical, but this space is a bigger space, and it's got so much more sunlight, and we have the outdoor area, and it's so much nicer here. I love it so much. And so here, he's got we've got like ropes on the ceiling that replicate like branches. Outside, we do have some driftwood branches for them to climb on, so it's actual wood. And they have like a crate for when they come down to use the bathroom for when it's winter months inside. But typically when it's nice out, they do use the bathroom outside, which is great. Yeah, and so we just try to make sure they're comfortable. A lot of times you'll see photos of them inside like a pet carrier crate, like a really large one. We do feeding inside this crate, and they often sleep in there. And we
What do
purpose.
they eat?
So let me do this. Let me finish this one thought quick. We feed them in there, and we let them sleep in there purposefully, so they're very comfortable in this crate, so that if we ever need to take them for vetting or anything, that crate can then be closed and taken off the wall. And so that's a very intentional space for them to be comfortable in. And because they're comfortable in there, a lot of times photos are from in there. But the door stays open unless we're actually needing to take them out for something. So feeding wise, we do feed them like a zoological diet. So Missouri brand makes a leaf eater biscuit, and it's what the zoos would feed their sloths. And then you supplement that with vegetables. They like carrots and sweet potatoes. And then for treats, they get some grapes and some apple.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice. And you said that you were smitten when you first met him. Oh, that's
I
so
mean,
wonderful.
he was sleeping when we walked in. It was mid-afternoon, and he slept on a shelf in a closet. And so we could walk in and we could see his little furry self up on this shelf. And the minute we all started talking, he woke up and climbed on out to say hello. And it was just the cutest thing because
Oh, that's
He really is social.
Oh,
Isn't that
bless.
beautiful?
In 2021, you then adopted a female named Zuri, who the following year unexpectedly gave birth to little Pancake. I assume Enzo's the father.
And then we also have Clover.
Okay.
So
Wow.
Clover is a second baby.
Okay, so he's had two.
So Zuri has had two babies. We were very surprised when Clover came along. So Pancake was born at the end of, like you said, but when Pancake was about 7 months old, we had a tragedy where he ate some of the puppy pad that was in the crate.
Oh
I didn't talk about it a lot publicly because it really was really
upset.
difficult for us.
Yes.
I have some depression, and that was really hard for my depression.
Yes, understandably.
We had used puppy pads in the crate for 6 years at this point with Enzo, with nothing going wrong. But Pancake, being a baby, did eat some, and so we did an emergency surgery. Luckily, he made it through the surgery, but unfortunately, then he started rejecting the stitches and needed a second surgery. He made it through that surgery, but did not fully recover, and we did end up losing Pancake, and
Oh, bless.
it was so traumatic for me because I watched Zuri give birth to him. Like, we felt very connected, and because I very much feel like it was my human error that was the cause.
However,
I mean, we did learn,
when
though, we'll never use puppy pads again, and we did
Right.
definitely learn from that. And so we're just moving forward, and trying to make sure we don't have anything like that happen again. And so unexpectedly again, see, the thing is with slaws is especially with females, you can't really tell when they're pregnant necessarily unless you would have an ultrasound.
I was
And
going to ask, yeah.
yeah, so because they don't use the bathroom as regularly as a person, like, they often look bloated and their bellies often look big. And there are even times when their belly will move and you'll think it's a baby movement when really it's just digestion.
Okay.
So I won't say we didn't have suspicions that there might be a baby, because we definitely were kind of looking like she does seem like she's staying bigger, but we weren't sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And so,
How?
yeah, in July she did have baby Clover.
Oh, bless. How
Over.
long is a sloth's pregnancy?
So they can be about like 11 months of gestation.
All right, okay. Still
So,
quite some time.
yeah, so they typically can have a baby like once every 2 years, is I guess is what they tend to do. And so now, knowing that they had another baby, at some point this is something we're gonna probably have to address. We're probably gonna have to, separate somehow so we don't end up with a bunch, because our goal wasn't really breeding, but it's pretty cute. I mean,
And it
they
happens. Yep.
yeah and I mean it really does show that they are happy and comfortable here, and doing well enough that they would even consider doing that.
Isn't that beautiful? That's great. Yeah.
So yeah, so it's something we'll kind of try and keep an eye on. We don't want to, I don't want to separate them. They really do. They love each other so much. The amount of kissing
Beautiful.
these two sloths do
Oh, how beautiful.
is really remarkable. They really do love each other. So I really don't want to have to separate them, but I also, don't want to breed a bunch of sloths into captivity either.
How long do sloths generally live? Because Enzo's already 12 now.
Yeah, his birthday is this month and he'll turn 12. They
Oh.
can live 20 years and beyond in captivity.
Wow.
Okay. I've heard of a sloth at a zoo being 38 years old, and
Wow.
so they can live quite long.
And for
Wow.
2 years would be a bit of an issue.
That's unbelievable. So they tend to they're slow moving. Sloths are slow moving. And you know, I just have often wondered, what are their personalities like?
So Enzo, like when I say he's social, like if he hears people talking, he will wake up and approach you, and he'll reach out. They really are into smelling everything, so he'll want to smell you, to say hello. He doesn't like isolate when people are around and stay, in his little curled up ball of sleep. He definitely will wake up and approach to say hello. Zuri is not as social as Enzo. When we got her, actually, part of the reason we took her in is they were looking for an experienced sloth home for her because she seemed quite scared and not friendly. And so it took a really long time for her to adjust, and we were very careful to give her space. We didn't, push her to do anything to allow us to, be involved. And it took her quite a while, but when she did finally accept us, she is very proud when she has her baby. She shows them off. But her personality is very different from Enzo's in that she is a little bit more, to herself. She doesn't mind, when we're in there, but she also doesn't approach us every time. There are times when she is excited to see us and come out, but Enzo is very consistent with his affection.
Now, can you hold them, or you know, when you approach, when you're talking about approaching them, is that like from a little bit of a distance that you kind of keep a distance from them?
So, like if I go into their room, Enzo will typically start climbing his ropes towards us. So he usually comes towards us. Whereas Zuri, she doesn't always come towards us. Sometimes we can go and say hello, and we can kind of tell if she wants us to, give her a pet on the head, or if she is just like, nice to see you, but, I need my space. So Enzo really does seem to enjoy, having some pets, and they do enjoy like being hand fed sometimes, but we definitely do not like pick them up or hold them. They're at this point they're big animals, and they do have remarkably large teeth. So you don't want to upset them that way. I mean, they're not aggressive animals. If they get frightened, their go-to would be to go away. But they do sometimes like kind of almost want to mouth like a puppy. So you have to be aware of where your hands are sometimes, because if they're trying to just mouth you like a puppy, you could accidentally get bitten, and it would not be a good situation because their teeth are very big. So that's something we're mindful of, but we definitely don't like try to force them to allow us to handle them. We try to be really respectful. If any days they don't seem to be enjoying us in there, we definitely back off and let them have their space. And as far as the babies go, we only took the baby off one time just to kind of check her over, less than 2 minutes. Just and then right back. We don't separate baby from mama. Mom gets to raise her baby. We don't run any kind of like we don't have this isn't like a zoo or anything. We don't exhibit our animals. So a lot of times like zoos when they use them for like petting zoo situations, they do separate mamas and babies. We don't do that. They get to do their own thing here.
Mommy,
Well, they're
mommy,
pets.
mommy. Mommy is
Right,
mommy.
right. Yeah, so mom gets to be mom, and it's fun to see the difference though between how Pancake behaved versus Clover, and also how Zuri's behaving having this one as her second baby. So the first time she was more protective and she was a little bit more like, look from a distance. I want to show you, but a little bit more protective. And this time, like Clover is already crawling the ropes by herself, away from Zuri, and Zuri is letting it happen.
Okay.
And the first time, like Zuri would be very close by always. And I've come in and Clover's been way across the room and Zuri didn't move to go closer. She's just like, yeah, you can come back. I'm good here. No panic on her end. She's very comfortable this time around.
That's good.
Enzo's story is truly unique, because he paints. And my question is, how did you first discover that you even had an interest in painting? And was it something that happened naturally, or did you introduce him to art? How did that happen?
So it was really spontaneous and random. I like to just craft. It makes me feel calm, and it's just one of my things that I do. And so I had been in his room and I was painting, and he, climbed on his rope and he hung down, and they have quite a reach when they hang just from their legs. Their arms can get quite, they can spread quite low. So he could reach the table.
Right.
And so he was over me and I was painting, and he reached down and he actually was grabbing at the paintbrush.
Oh, wow.
And so I let him hold the brush, and he was holding it for quite a long time. And so I just held a canvas up to him, like
Go ahead.
just being silly, right? Like, and he asked,
Curiosity, what's he gonna do?
right. And he actually moved the brush along the canvas.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the funniest thing. And I didn't think much of it after that. Until I went in there again, and he did it again the next time I was painting in the room.
Wow.
So then I was like, this is really cool. And he really seemed to like almost know what he was doing. Like he was moving the brush with purpose.
Right.
And so I ended up getting some canvases just for him, and I had him do a few paintings. And I used them at a silent auction that benefited a local ranch that we sometimes volunteered at. And at first, my husband really looked at me like, I mean, these look like they're done by a 2-year-old. I mean, it's very abstract. It's not, who's going to want these? But I did take pictures of him painting all of these canvases. And you can look at the picture and you can see it's that specific canvas.
Yeah.
And the silent auctions went quite well. And
Oh.
so then I was like, we might have something here. Like,
Yep.
so then I began, like, I started an Etsy store, and I began having him paint a little bit more often, and I started rewarding him for painting. So
Oh,
once he realized he got treats, it was game on. He loves it.
I love it.
If I walk into that room with the paintbrush and the water cup with the brush and canvases, he is coming towards me. He is ready to go because he knows he's getting a treat. And so then he just became a painting sloth, and he does it. I mean, I obviously can't make him do it.
Yeah.
I would say 9 times out of 10, if he sees me with the stuff, he's ready.
Yeah.
There are rare occasions where he's not into it that day, and that's fine. I'm not
Real
gonna.
artist.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Some days you're not feeling creative, right?
Exactly.
The funniest part to me though is as we did it more often, when he realized I would bring the phone up to take the picture, and then he got a treat. And so he started when I brought the phone up to take the picture, he started dropping the brush because he knew he could get more treats that way.
Oh,
Because I have to
clever.
get a good picture of him. And so if I give him a treat, take the picture, if when I'm doing that, he drops the brush, well, then I have to try again. I mean, he's so smart that way. It cracks me up. I mean, it can be very frustrating because I don't want to give him too many treats. So I
Treats.
try to limit it, but he's quite clever.
He sounds so smart.
How
Oh.
much involvement do you have in the creation of each piece? Does he choose the colors that goes on the canvas? How,
No,
you know.
I do that part. I pick the
Right.
colors. I tend to usually do like the primary colors because I think
Yeah.
that's probably the easiest. But every now and then, I'll do something different. But so yeah, I pick the colors and I always have him do three colors per painting. And so and I usually have him do more than one painting at a time. So typically I get the photo usually when he does the second color, because usually when we get to the second color, he's really into it. And then after I get the photo, then I worry about him getting the third color on. And so it's almost like an assembly line, like maybe if I have him do like five at a time. So he'll do five canvases with yellow in an assembly line kind of situation. Then I'll pull out the camera and the treats, and he knows what's coming and he's excited. And he'll do the next color. It really doesn't take too long for him to do these paintings. He's pretty good at it. When he's done with something, he does drop the brush. If I look at a painting and think, oh, well, there's really not a lot of paint on this one, I'll typically hold it back up, give him a treat, and give him the brush again. Because I try to make sure there's, something fun on the canvas.
It's
Well, he's
important to
just
keep them.
collaborated with artist Daniel Newman. Can you tell us about that?
So that was really amazing. I think a fellow animal artist whose dogs paint, she kind of connected us because her dogs were going to paint with Daniel Newman. And so yeah, he reached out and we did a collaboration with him, and the art was featured at the Jules Collins Museum at Auburn University.
Wow.
Oh, that's exciting.
And then he actually did have one of his pieces sell to an art collector, which is super, super exciting.
Nice.
Oh, wow, that is great. Oh.
It is pretty exciting stuff. I was really honored to have Enzo included.
What do you think it is about his paintings that resonates with people? I mean, he's captured the imagination of so many.
Well, I think a lot of people like that they can get the photo and see that it really is their painting in the photo. So they have that validation of his art. I don't know. I mean, he's an unusual artist. I don't know many sloths that paint.
I
I
know.
think he must be about the only one, isn't he?
Well, I've seen zoos that do like elephant painting and things like that. So, I mean, it's not, and plenty of dogs are artists as well. So it's not unheard of to have animals do art. But
Oh
I mean,
no,
it certainly wasn't something we sought out. It wasn't on my radar when we
no.
brought Enzo home. And so, I mean, being somebody who likes to craft myself, it was so fun for me to have, my sloth decide to craft along with me. Like, that was exciting.
And of course, it's not easy to keep a sloth, and to it's expensive, I'm sure.
The winter heating for sure is a pretty big expense, yeah.
It's not for everyone. And you've said in the past that people often give them up after being disappointed once they've adopted them.
Well, yeah, I mean they're nocturnal animals, so most of the day when people are awake, they're just sleeping. We really see them mostly right in the morning. And then in the evening, for most of the daytime, they really do sleep. And I think, when people do get them from like the pet trade situation, they're tend to get probably little ones who, who you can kind of hold, but once they get to a certain size, that's not going to be something that they're going to want to do, probably. I mean, I'm sure there's exceptions.
How big do they
How
actually
big?
get?
Yeah.
So Enzo's probably around 20 pounds.
Okay.
But they're the way they can stretch. I mean, he's stretched out. I'm 5'3". He's probably the same as me, like head to toe, or
That's big.
arm to, yeah. He's probably the about my size. He can stretch quite big, but you know, I'm sure there's exceptions of animals that have been raised among people who will still allow that, but I don't think in general an adult sloth would enjoy that. And so I think a lot of times there's a lot of expectations that they're going to be like this cuddly thing you can hold all the time, and that's just really not the truth. And so I think, especially with as popular sloths became, I think a lot of people really had an expectation and probably were disappointed when that's not really how it is.
You also have other interesting pets. Can you tell us about them and what is your advice for anyone wanting to adopt exotic pets? Because the sloths aren't the only exotic pets you have.
Right. So we also have some ringtail lemurs. And now they are probably more what people would expect. Like they are very active and fun to watch and very mischievous creatures. So we do have them as well. And then we have some sulcata tortoises. I have had some other exotics in the past. So what ends up happening is I tend to see animals come up that are being rehomed for whatever reason. And sometimes I feel very compelled, like I have to help this animal who's in a hard spot. And it's not always, we're not always the best fit, but I will take them in until I find them the best fit. So, for instance, we had an African serval for a period of time.
Interesting.
Yes, he had been kept in a bathroom in a city illegally, and a cat that size should not be in a bathroom, and it was, like I said, illegal in the city for him to be there. And so I looked at my husband and I said, we need to get this cat. And so I did find him a more appropriate home after he was with us for a little bit of time. Yeah.
It's a whole different market, isn't it? I mean,
It's something that I just feel compelled to do if I see an animal that's being displaced. I first get nervous, especially when I see things for free, because you don't know who's going to take it. And you don't want them to fall into the hands of people who are just flipping animals for cash and not taking care of them. And also, like, you know, you have to really do your research and learn about these animals in order to properly care for them. And they need specific diets. And, you know, we do the research to find out, like, zoologically what they should have and then what their supplements are and things like that. And, you know, even with all the research you can do, some animals are just really hard to care for. So I don't know. I'm a sucker for a displaced animal who needs some help. That's me. I tend to, even with like dogs and things too, I tend to bring in the sick ones or you know, we had a blind dog for a while.
God bless you guys. So nice.
As you say, I mean, it's vital to learn as much as possible before adopting any animal, not just the exotic animals. You
Definitely.
know, they're sentient beings, they have feelings and emotions, and you know, they don't deserve to be given up through human ignorance because that's what happens. They also become attached to the human,
Yes.
in a lot of
And you know,
cases.
and right now, you know, there's all these documentaries happening, and it really is, you know, I can definitely see both sides of some of these stories. Like, you know, like I said, I personally would not ever be interested in importing a animal from the wild. That's just not something that I would do. But at the same time, this happens, and then these animals are here and need care.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so, you know, and I get that some people definitely make their living by bringing in these animals, and it is a business because there is a demand. And it is such a fine line to walk with understanding both sides of that. And so, yeah, it is a tricky thing, and there is a lot of big feelings around having exotics, and I completely understand why that is. But like I said, at the same time, if they're here, they need care. Yes.
Well, and obviously all our listeners do need to bear in mind that you and your husband have got specialist knowledge in caring for these animals, and also that Enzo, Zuri, and so on, they wouldn't survive in the wild and they can't be released. So this, you know, that's very important to say. You know, they're not there just for the fun of it. They cannot be released safely. So Jenny, how can people buy Enzo's paintings and follow you on social media? You also have a website, I think.
So I do have an Etsy store right now that I sell paintings on. It's called Sloth Mom Crafts. And then I have an Instagram page that's for Enzo, Enzo the Pet Sloth. And we often have some of our other animals posted on there as well. And then my daughter, she runs a TikTok that she posts some videos. I'm not, social media and technology is not my thing, so she's much better at it than I am. But that is, I live in a zoo, all one word. So, and she actually doesn't live here. She's an adult and married and doing her own thing. But she makes jokes like, "You waited until I moved out of the house before you got cool."
That's great.
One final question. If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why? This
Oh
is
gosh,
something we ask all the everybody that we interview. So, and we love the responses we get. So,
I definitely think that I have the personality of a sloth. Maybe that's why I'm so drawn to them. I love a lazy day in the warmth, you know, give me a blankie and a good book and I'm in my element. So, I can definitely relate to that idea of just curling up and enjoying some warm blanket time.
Well,
That's
thank
cool.
you so much for joining us today,
Thank you,
and
Jenny.
explaining the joys of being parents to sloths. I mean, they're fascinating creatures. I love them as well. I enjoy following your Instagram,
Oh,
which is
thank
how
you.
I actually was introduced to Enzo. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. It's an
Oh,
honor. I
you're
love
welcome.
talking about my animals.
Well,
Yeah.
we must have you back again soon.
Yes,
Soon.
anytime,
Definitely.
anytime.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
Thank you. It was great to meet you.
And you. And to our loyal listeners, thank you once again for joining us. Remember to tune in to all our podcast episodes on our website, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Do share them on social media. We enjoy your company and always welcome new listeners. So until next time, everyone, take care.